I am an alcoholic, and through the course of sobriety in Alcoholics Anonymous, I've learned what that is, what the problem is, and what the solution is. So, the problem started long before my first drink. Personally, myself, I believe I was born an alcoholic. I had alcoholic tendencies, not just in regards to alcohol, but my thinking and acting throughout my childhood. So I grew up in a different country, but with a good, loving family, parents, siblings, normal school upbringing, wasn't bullied, wasn't abused, joined clubs, good grades in school, got on with everyone. And throughout it all, without realizing it, I just had this nagging feeling that something wasn't right. That's the best way to put it. And it's taken me a long time in sobriety to understand what that really was. But it was just a general feeling of I could be on a snowboarding trip with a group of my friends, and I feel like I'm the one who's there just as a tag along, you know, like my dad volunteered to help. So they have to hang out with me, or, you know, go on a scout trip, and oh, well, they can't turn me out. So, and even within my own family, just the feeling of, yeah, you know, they like me, but I'm just not quite right. And it carried on through my childhood into my teen years. But, you know, I discovered that there were things that would ease that feeling a bit. And I still remember my first drink. I believe I was about 11, only a few years older than my son is now. Traveled away for an overnight concert with some older kids, some teenagers, you know, that was cool enough already. That already got me feeling a bit better. And they offered us some beers, and me and my friend each had one of those and asked for another one. And yeah, okay. And they tried to cut us off after that. And I just, you know, it's a bit gray area. You know, it's my first drink. I don't have a super clear memory of it. I just remember going back to the cooler and just that dipping my hands in that cold ice water and pulling it out, popping the top. And just that, you know, you hear the can go, psh, and it was the same feeling in my head. I didn't know what was going on, but just every time I drank more of the stuff, I felt better and better. And, you know, I probably only had three or four, but it was quite a lot for someone my size, and went away into the concert that I'd been so nervous about for weeks before. You know, I don't know these people. I don't know this band. I've never been in a big crowd of strangers. And here I am at the front dancing with my friends and having a good time. And, you know, not the best memory of the rest of the night. And just, I remember waking up and just going, I'm going to do this as often and as much as I can. And, you know, for an 11 or 12 year old, that wasn't very often, and had a few drinks throughout high school, but wasn't really the scene, and found other things I could smoke that, you know, gave me similar amounts of relief and fitting in. But, you know, alcohol was really the king from the get-go, and went off to college, went off to university, and that's where it really took off. You know, here I am living out of home, and even being 17 years old with a drinking age of 21, it wasn't too hard to find places to drink and people to buy me booze. And I was a binge drinker at the start. You know, I couldn't drink every day. And I think there was that nagging thought in the back of my head that alcoholics drink every day, and I'm not going to do that. I'll just drink on the weekends like a normal person. But, you know, I never drank like a normal person. For me personally, I always drank to blackout. I always drank to obliteration. I was always drinking the strongest drink as fast as I could. Me, this little 5'7", you know, 70 kg kid, just pounding away drinks and having a great time doing it. And, you know, sometime in those years, I went from having fun with my drinking to having fun with problems, and just those problems that I didn't think anything of at the time, because they must happen to everyone else that drinks. You know, I'm waking up not remembering what happened. I'm waking up with bruises, and then I start waking up not in my house, and, you know, waking up in cars or on the lawn. And didn't think too much of it, carried on with that. And, you know, carried on at university, got my degrees and everything, and had some troubles in relationships and families and that. And, you know, often my solution was, well, I'll just leave and keep drinking, you know, because the problem, the alcohol was making those insecurities and all those feelings of apartness go away. So that can't be the problem. It must be, my parents just don't get me, so I'm not going to talk to them. And my partner doesn't get me, so I'm going to leave her and get another one. And then it turned into, oh, this country doesn't get me, so I'm going to go to the other side of the world, because You know, that's really what's been this underlying problem for all these years. It's where I live, you know, it's the whole culture. And I, you know, and I have a big blowout the week before and the night before, and I'm out till 4 a.m. before my 6 a.m. flight to New Zealand. And, you know, I start swearing off it on the plane. I'm going to, you know, it's going to be a new life here, and I'm going to start over and not get into all this trouble I've been getting into. And I made 36 hours before I picked up another drink, and I was off again. And in no short time, I found myself a New Zealand resident with a kid on the way and a job I wasn't happy with. And I was just drinking my problems away. And I got to that place our literature talks about of pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. I found myself becoming more and more abusive by the week to the mother of my child. And that was just something there were lots of times I moved the goalposts, you know, like I'm not going to drive drunk and I'm not going to go to work drunk and I'm not going to drink in the morning. And all those things got ticked off the list slowly by slowly. But this was the thing that really broke me. I just couldn't, you know, I never came from that household with abuse and neglect, and I didn't want to create one in my own. And so I swore off drinking, and I had quite a good go of it, made it almost a year without a drink. I had looked at the AA website and read some of the questions about, you know, you might be an alcoholic if you tick some of these boxes, and didn't answer them too honestly. I still think I got a pretty high score, but didn't think much of it. And, oh, it's too far to go to these meetings and it's too much trouble, and I'll be all right on my own. I made it for quite a while and was going madder and madder by the day. And, you know, that day came when I was offered a drink, and without much hesitation, I picked it up and I was right back where I started that year before. And it took me another 6 months of starting and quitting and starting and quitting and blackouts and just all the chaos that I had lived for all those years until I got to that point where I no longer enjoyed it. And I found myself sitting at home heavily intoxicated, lots of alcohol on board in my head, just as stressed and strained as it was before I picked up that drink. And then I really, really wanted to stop. And that's when I found I couldn't. And that's when I got back on that AA website and found a meeting around the corner from me the next night. Drove around, parked outside, hit a look, drove home, thought about it for another day, found another meeting, same location, two nights later, drove around, finally got the courage to go in. Hair down my back, beard growing out, sweatpants, hood pulled up tight over my heart, over my face. Don't want anyone to see me. And before I could even get to my seat, two people saw me coming in the door and welcomed me and, you know, asked me if it was my first meeting and what brings me here. And I don't remember much about what I said or what they said. You know, I know I said I drank too much and I can't stop. And they told me I was in the right place and told me to keep coming back. And sat in that meeting and heard people sharing the exact same experience I had just lived for the last 8, 9, 10 years, day after day, week after week, more alcohol, more problems, and no way to deal with them other than to drink more alcohol, which was causing more problems. And then they went on to talk about sobriety. And, you know, I didn't understand any of it at the time, but it was attractive to me because, you know, this was the first time in my life I heard people speaking about the way I thought and the way I lived, you know, because I never talked to anybody about these things. I used to have this old assumption I've shared about in meetings before when I was at university that, you know, drinking was having a dozen drinks or less. And I did a bit of drinking last night. And when people said they got drunk, I assumed that they meant they went into a blackout and they don't remember what happened, because that's what always happened for me without fail. And I heard in this meeting shared that that's not normal, but it's normal here and you're in the right place, and learned quite a few other things about my drinking years. And so I took their advice and I kept coming back, and I didn't have much going on at the time. So I went to 5 meetings a week. And after a few months, I started, you know, getting restless, irritable, and discontent again, because I hadn't had a drink, but I also didn't have a solution to replace it. And I heard the same members, and specifically one member coming back to the same meetings every week and talking about the same things. And he was talking about regular meetings, getting a sponsor, and working these 12 steps with them, which was still a pretty foreign concept to me. But I approached him after one of the meetings and you know, said, I want what you have. How do I get there? And that man agreed to sponsor me and started taking me through the steps. And he'd already been taking me through that first step without realizing it, but talking to me after meetings for quite a while. And, you know, that first steps talks about our powerlessness over alcohol, which I understood. You know, I understood not having a mental desire to drink anymore and still finding a drink in my hand night after night and, you know, swearing off it even when I'm on it and not being able to put it down. Well, I understood that. Alcohol taught me that. But he taught me about the unmanageability, which was all those things that started long before that first drink when I was a child. Not being able to deal with criticism or rejection or just life on life's terms. I just struggled with day-to-day things and was always full of self-pity and anger and jealousy and all these things that, you know, drove me to drink without me realizing it and took me through that first step and onto the next couple of steps, which was finding this higher power. This higher power that I heard about. I still remember at my second meeting, I asked him about it and I had some preconceptions about what a higher power or a God was and heard some people share about it in their own terms. And I thought I wouldn't mesh with this AA thing, you know, because I had some different beliefs. And he said, you know, you just have to find what works for you and ask that higher power to help you on a day-to-day basis. And beyond that, it's your business. And for whatever reason, this time it was enough. It was enough for me. And I started asking this higher power to help keep me sober day by day and help me with the rest of the steps, which he is to this day so far. And I got on with an inventory in the fourth and fifth step where I wrote down, you know, all those defects of character that drove me to drink and dug and found all those memories that I pushed down with alcohol and brought those up and shared those with another human being. And, you know, it was another one of those things in AA where it seemed like such a contrary action. You know, how is talking about this stuff going to make me forget about it? You know, every time I think about it, I just run it over in my mind again and again and again. And, you know, before I came in AA, that would drive me to a drink and I'd set that cycle off again and probably create some more problems that I'm going to build up in my head. But the first three steps had worked and I'd been sober this time longer than I'd been before and happier than I'd ever been before without a drink. So I took it on faith that this might work for me as well. And, you know, after sharing those defects of character with my sponsor, I felt a relief that I'd never felt before and felt like I was in the right place finally. And, you know, like I belonged in AA, I belonged in the world. And, you know, a lot of these things I hadn't really realized until they had come to fruition in my life, because I'd never felt that way before without a drink. And a drink was just a close approximation of how I feel now. And, you know, moving on with the steps, when I got to my amends, I got to start making amends for those things that I had written in my inventory, those people I had harmed, my parents and my siblings and my partners and children and all those people that, because the people I cared about the most tended to get hurt the worst from me. And I'll just share an amends that has happened recently, just in the last few weeks. That was a tough one on my list. You know, a lot of people I was able to go and talk to, ex-employers and parents and siblings and that face-to-face and make those amends and rebuild those relationships. But I had my grandmother on my amends list, who died of cancer many years ago now when I was just a child before I was drinking. Another thing that was on my list from before I picked up a drink. And when she was going through those cancer treatments, although I hadn't been drinking yet, my alcoholism was alive and well, and I was focused on my life and me, and I wasn't able to be there for the way a grandson should be, and her and my mom as well. And how do you make amends for that? How do you make amends for someone who's passed away that long ago? But I put it on my list, and I trusted that God would make something available when the time was right. And also, at the direction of my sponsor, I signed up for some volunteer work with the Cancer Society in this case. And through a very long, crazy course of events and canceled schedules and phone calls and emails and the like, I ended up getting into some service, helping out someone who's going through some chemo currently. And again, my alcoholism kicks in. You know, I'm going there and I can't be bothered and I got other things I want to do today. And she's probably not going to be there and want to see me. Luckily, I have a wonderful partner who was also scheduled to come and give me a hand and reminded me of the time and was on her way. So here I am on my way to give her a hand. And I help her out with her property, and I get to talking to her afterwards and talking to her about her son, who she has to go pick up and take to get his license renewed because he's gotten into some trouble. And I went, you know, that's me. That was me when my grandmother was going through treatment. You know, I couldn't be bothered. I was too caught up in my own life and my own problems. And I got talking to her again after one of the last times I was been there, and she gets talking to me about her ex-husband, an abusive alcoholic who she had to leave many years ago now. And, you know, it just, there's a saying in AA about, you know, if you don't believe in God, get ready for a lot of coincidences. And, you know, I've had many, many things like that over the year, which, you know, just shows me how God's working in my life. But, you know, what my sobriety is like today on a day-to-day basis is, you know, it seems simple now. A lot of the hard work was in that early sobriety, you know, because it was incrementally getting better. And it's much easier to see in hindsight now, but it's, you know, it's hard when you're newly sober. And I was using alcohol for a solution for so many years, and AA takes more than a drink to feel better. You know, it took lots of meetings and lots of step work with my sponsor, but, you know, I have a higher power in my life today that allows me to go out without a drink, without a substance, and be a part of the world and just be a son, a father, a partner, and just be a normal person. Because that's where this all started in childhood, is that feeling of something's just not quite right. You know, the aliens are going to come and take me away one of these days. I don't belong here. And alcohol was the only thing for so many years that helped with that a little bit. And today, you know, I get to do a little bit of work on a daily basis, it seems like now, you know, a few prayers, a few meetings, working with newcomers, and some service. And I get to have that normal life that I craved, you know, because I came into AA thinking I would get, you know, I do the work, I check in, I check out, I get the house and the car and the dog and white picket fence and everything, and then I'll be right. And, you know, I've heard enough stories over the years in AA of people getting all the things they want, getting the money, getting the house, getting the car. And it's an inside job. And it's an inside job in AA. And, you know, it's fixed my insides where I can feel good from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep. And when I don't feel good, I know what the problem is and I know what the solution is. And it's in the 12 steps. And it's just all my willingness to do them or not. So that's my hardest struggle today, is staying willing, staying open-minded, just like with that story just before. I've got to be willing to do some things that make me a little bit uncomfortable in the short term for indescribable comfort in the long run. You know, alcohol was always a quick fix with a long, long problem trail end. And AA seems to be the other way around. And, you know, really, they're pretty minor consequences compared to waking up in another country with my passport gone or all the craziness of drinking. So I'm very grateful to be sober today.